Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best amongst exalted devotees, text number 5. Ashasano Navaibhritya Swamin Yashisha Atmanaha Swami Brityatak Swayam Ichanyo Rati Ashishaha. Ashasana. Person who desires in exchange for service.
Not.
Vai. Indeed. Britya. A qualified servant or pure devotee of the Lord. Swamini. From the Master. Ashisha, material benefit. Atmanaha, personal sense gratification. Na, nor. Swami, the Master. Brityataha, from the servant. Swayam, prestigious position of being like the Master. Like the being the master, yeah. Ichchan, desiring.
Any such master who
Rati bestows. Cha, also. Ashishaha, material profit. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. Purport is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7:20, Kamaistaista Ridhyana Prapadyante Na Devataha. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods. A demigod cannot become master, for the real master is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, to keep their prestigious positions, bestow upon their worshippers whatever benedictions the worshippers want. For example, once it was found that an asura took a benediction from Lord Shiva by which the asura would be able to kill someone simply by placing his hand on that person's head. Such benedictions are possible to receive from the demigods. If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, the Lord will never offer him such condemned benedictions. On the contrary, it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 18:8, 10:88:8, Yasyaham nu anugrahami. Yasyaham anugrinami harishe tadanam tshanai. If one is too materialistic, but at the same time wants to be a servant of the Supreme Person, Supreme Lord, the Lord, because of his supreme compassion for the devotee, takes away all his material opulences and obliges him to be a pure devotee of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj distinguishes between the pure devotee and the pure master. The Lord is the pure master, the supreme master, whereas an unalloyed devotee with no material motives is the pure servant. One who has materialistic motivations cannot become a servant, and one who unnecessarily bestows benedictions upon his servant to keep his own prestigious position is not a real master. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. In the material world, everyone is motivated or governed or directed by material desire. And because one is directed by material desire, one does things which are not necessarily appropriate for one's position. As it says, kamadi nam katida katidasta palitas dorni deshas, that in so many different ways we're serving kam, and which is manifest as adinam, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. And because of that, one in any position will act in any way in order to justify one's position. And the amazing thing about acting in the material energy is that the material energy will always confirm that we did the right thing, if that's what we want. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what the reaction is from others, makes no difference. Material nature will always tell us we did exactly the right thing. And if someone doesn't understand it, it's because they don't understand the truth, that we are the truth, and that whatever we do is the truth. In the absence of the supreme truth, all the relative truths claim that they're the truth. In the absence of Krishna, everyone becomes eligible to be the God. Therefore, the material world has been created so that Krishna is not here. He may be here, but for the people here in the material world, he's not here, supposedly. And on that basis, we have so many relationships, which are all based upon illusion. Some is just like in the material world, they're always talking about love, love. But actually, there is no love in the material world. Now, to say that would be very unpopular, because I just said it, so I guess. So what is all this love about? So according to Shukadeva Goswami, people are asking hundreds of millions of questions. Shota Vyadi Shu Rajanja Shrinam Shanti Sahasrashaha. Apayashitam Atmatatpam Griheshu Grihan Mehinam. People have hundreds and thousands of questions they're asking. So what is it about? Is it about Krishna? Is it about how to develop Krishna Prema? How to become a pure devotee? How to control your mind and senses so you can come to the platform of pure devotional service? No, the questions are Nidraya Ridaya Vyaktam Vavayena Chavavayam Divya Char Tehara Rajan Katumba Bharaninava. During the daytime, Divya Nidraya, actually they start with night because everyone begins at night. Nidraya Riyate Naktam. At night, people are sleeping. At least they used to sleep at night. Now it's night is when they wake up. And when the day comes, when the sun comes up, they go to sleep. And what else? Vavavayana chavavayam. If they have, there is somehow or another fortunate, by good karma, they can have sex life at night. Then they consider that the pinnacle of success. And in order to maintain that position, that divya charite ara rajan katumba baraninava. So during the daytime, they're making money. And then someone else is going, their wife or someone is spending it for them. But what is it all about? Is it love and higher consciousness? And no, deha patya kala taradishu atma sanyeshva sasupi. Tesham pramato nidanam pashtanapi napashati. It's simply for survival, that's all. People are just trying to survive. They're serving their worshipable deity, their dead material body, which they think is alive. And therefore their whole attempt is just to keep this dead body alive. How can you keep a dead body alive? It's not possible. Because it was never alive in the first place. So if it's dead, you can't keep something. You can't bring something alive that's dead. If they could do that after the soul left the body, then the scientists probably said they could put the magical chemical into the body, and the body would become alive. The body doesn't need you. the body can become alive, but they can't make a dead body alive because it's dead. It was always dead. But because we're worshippers of dead bodies, or idol worshippers, actually, except for the devotees, everyone else is an idol worshipper. They're worshiping a dead body. Same thing as if you worship, in America they have what's called a totem pole. You know what a totem pole is? So that's what we're on the same level as the totem pole worshiper. Because we're worshiping this dead body. And we're more attached to this dead body than anything else. And therefore, we'll do anything and everything necessary to maintain its prestige. So someone's dead body is claiming that they're the master. And they'll do anything and everything in order to maintain that position as master. Matter of fact, if you go to India, or now you don't have to go to India, you can go anywhere. If you have an election to become the so-called master, then what you do is you get 500 rupees, you give it to each one of the voters, and they somehow or another they become inclined to vote for you. So you're the so-called leader, but you have to pay your followers to follow you. So actually you're their servant. And you're not exactly their servant because someone else on top of you is going to tell you what to do. Because he gave you the 500 rupees for everyone to vote for you, and now you're obliged to do whatever he tells you to do. So you're not the master, you're simply the servant. But you're the servant of bad masters, that's all. So similarly in the material world, someone may claim that they're a servant. Oh, I love you, you're the greatest, I'll do whatever. But behind you, when you're not looking, they take a knife and stab you in the back. They're claiming to be the servant only as a technique in order to wake up. He woke up. I caught the Panchatattva, they were about to sleep. So. Tell them to better pay attention. No, someone is claiming, I love you, I love you, I love you. Just like nowadays people get married, or anytime. They get married, I love you, I love you. What I really love is your money. And as soon as I can get your money, I don't love you anymore. I don't need you anymore. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the man, he was probably walking up a mountain in New Vrindavan, a hill, there's no mountains there. Of course there are hills in West Virginia, but this is, I guess there are mountains in West Virginia, but this is a hill in New Vrindavan, and Hari Giri was helping Prabhupada up the hill, and when Prabhupada got up the hill, he threw Hari Giri's hand away and said, get away, I don't need you anymore. So Hari Giri was quite shocked. What do you mean, Prabhupada? So Prabhupada said, you know, it's just like the Mayavadis. They take shelter of the deity, they take shelter of the deity, and then finally they become the deity and they throw the deity away. They don't need the deity anymore. So this is so-called service. Everyone is actually envious, claiming that they're the servant, but actually they're simply doing it to take the position of the master eventually. Throughout history, Hussein Shah, he was the servant of the previous Shah. He was simply a servant boy. As we know, he was actually a servant of Subuddhi Roy. And one day, Subuddhi Roy, he did something naughty. Hussein Shah and Subuddhi Roy hit him on the back with a whip. And he left a mark there. Later on, he became a servant of the Nawab. And then he assassinated this Nawab, and he became the master. Such as you got to watch out for your servants, especially. So he was a so-called servant, but he wanted to, actually his whole idea was to become the master. For Prabhupada, when he went to Tokyo, Dainapan, who was going to print Prabhupada's books, And so during the negotiation, well, before the negotiation, all the big executives at Dhinapan, which was like the biggest book publishers in the world at that time, they all walked in one after another and put their cards down with the head honcho, the head executive of Dhinapan, put his card down first, and all the subsequent executives put their cards down. And finally, the last card was put down. So after the meeting was over, the negotiation was finished, all the big executives got up and left, except for one assistant was there to help Prabhupada and the devotees. So Prabhupada asked him, he said, "What is your ambition in life?" So the man took, his card was on the bottom, so he took his card from the bottom and he put it on the top. That was his ambition. That was going to be his final goal in life. He was going to die with his card on top. So we may laugh, we may think this is ridiculous, but people will sacrifice their life to get a little medal that big so they can put it on their tomb. So this is called false prestige. It has nothing valuable in terms of one's own real benefit. It's just some concoction that I'm getting ahead. But that's what the whole material world is about. That now I'm simply an ant, I've got to work my way up again. And now I'm Brahma, I'm the top. I'll never fall down. And the next moment you're an ant again. It's the story of Sisyphus. You've heard the story of Sisyphus? He was cursed, had big boulder. He was put into a hole with a big boulder. And he's always bringing the boulder up to the top. And his whole idea is to get the boulder out of the hole and then as soon as it fall back again. Start all over again. So that's material world. At a false prestige, we're trying to become, get some body which is going to become the supreme. We're never going to become the supreme. We're too tiny. But some body, some hero, some material energy that we're put into is going to be on the top. Some dream that we have, that we've suddenly made it because our hero, the body, made it. Exactly the same thing when you go to a sports game. People can't do anything. They can hardly see these people coming in with a stick. They can't even. And yet their team, they're going, yay! They think that when some hero on their team scores, that they actually scored something. They didn't do anything. My team. They didn't do anything. They're useless. They can't even walk. And yet they want to take credit because somehow or another they encourage their hero to score. So in the same way, we're in these material bodies and we're imagining that we're somehow or another the hero or we're making some progress, but actually has nothing to do with us. It's all being arranged by Krishna through either his spiritual or his material energy. But when one takes shelter of Krishna sincerely, because there, as we heard yesterday, there are four kinds of pious people who take shelter of Krishna, but they don't really care very much about Krishna. They don't even know Krishna, nor do they want to know Krishna, spoil their material life knowing Krishna. But they take shelter of Krishna because Krishna promises that he'll reciprocate and give them what they want. And what do they want? They want somehow or another themselves to be the center of attention up to Brahman, or they want their material bodies to somehow or another get the attention. But not Krishna. And therefore Krishna has nothing to do with them, really. He has something to do with them. He reciprocates with them accordingly, but it's not devotional service. Pure devotional service. Maybe a kind of elevation which Krishna has arranged, so eventually one may wake up and come to one's senses that I'm wasting my time trying to become materially elevated. Instead, one should try to do things to please Krishna, and in any condition, that will be a success. Whether the sukha dukhe sme kridva lava labo jaya jayo, to tell you dai you jasva naivam papam avapsu se, Do they fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, heat and cold? And by doing so, you'll never come, of course, the whole thing is always never get entangled, but do they fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor, sauna, and by doing so, you'll never... What? Never incur sin. So that we have to come to that position, not worry about whether I'm going to gain or loss, whether there's going to be honor and dishonor. If we do something sincerely to please Krishna, then we'll actually make some gain for the self. Otherwise, shramam eva hi kevalam, we'll just be wasting our time. Now, we may serve so many masters, but unless we focus on serving Krishna, then it's all going to be ultimately zero. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Interesting thing is that Krishna usually... We're always expect the more sincere we become a servant of Krishna, the more we expect him to immediately respond. As if, you know, Krishna, you know, I got a few extra credits, so you must come and do what I want now. But Krishna is more unlikely to respond the more we think that he should respond. He doesn't want us to cultivate the attitude that he must reciprocate. Otherwise, there's no question of developing any real love for Krishna, any surrender. Even the spiritual world, you go there, sometimes Krishna reciprocates, apparently, and sometimes he doesn't. He'll leave the gopis themselves during the rasa dance. So what is our position? We have an arasa dance. Why would Krishna... We're surprised, Krishna, you're leaving my arasa dance. Krishna will even leave the rasa dance in order to cultivate the right attitude in his devotees. Even the devotees, Srimati Rarani is trained up by Lilita and others to reject Krishna at times. So the Krishna develops the right attitude. So everyone is supposed to develop, everything is arranged to develop the right attitude, even the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.